Thank you. It is such a blessing to be here. Wow. You are most beautiful things on the earth. You are the church. It is so beautiful. I just want to take a time and look at you. You are, it's great, beautiful, you know. And thank you for the love, by the way. It has every time that I come here, I'm just saturated in love. It is really like I really appreciate it. I'm here with my wife. She is somewhere there, and she is thinking that I will not mention and I will not ask. Since Pastor Drew did it, I will do it. Can you stand up, brother? Yeah. She is my wife. Yeah. And I love her so much. Irada, I really love you. And I really thank you. Thank you for being in my life. And I encourage you, love your wife. Okay, let me be quick. Psalms 34, verse 8, it says about taste and tasting something. We love to taste something, right? Good food. And sometimes we eat something and we don't forget that taste. And you know that verse. It says, Lord says that, oh, come and taste me. Okay, hold on. Yeah. It is Psalms 34, verse 8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him. And, you know, you all so unique. There is none like you. And I like to say to people that, you know, God, even the best love that we experienced, like, you know, love of child, right? We love our children. It is even cannot be shadow of God's love. The God's love is so much something that it cannot be described by human words. And so we are loved by God. This is what I am experiencing here, exercising here. When I have fellowship with you, and this taste in our mouths, whenever we go, we look for it. We look for that taste. And in Canada, I have problem with goose. You know the goose, right? They are so much, you know, so much like proudful. They are like, right, like, you know what I'm talking about, probably from Canada. You have seen the many, many geese are everywhere. And they are protected. They are something that you cannot touch them. You cannot make any plan about them. But, you know, even they use the zebra. You know, when you stop in the stop sign something, they use the zebra. They are marching. You know, they are like with... And sometimes I feel that they look at me and just they something they are superior or something, you know. And I don't know, maybe I only me, but so I was having a plan, you know. I was when I see them, I look juicy, roasted goose, you know. I grown up in the farm in the village, so I know how to take care of them, you know. I was saying that, you know. I will have something like little in my hand, you know, little bait. I will come them and I will squeeze one of them, put under the coat, run home. I was really making serious plan. I was saying that it will take maybe like 45 minutes to put him in the oven, you know. Where I will do it, I will do it in the bathroom, you know. And something like everything I can, where is the feather will go, where is the blood and everything. I don't care, I will just... With this plan, and I was really like, you know, whenever I see them, I like, you know, in my imagination already they are roasted. They are like, you know, just... So, it is serious. I'm not joking. Really, I was having a plan. And one day, we were sitting at home, all family, and I look at from window in the yard. We have like many neighbors, you know, something. I see many police cops, and some of them armed. They are like serious. And I went down and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" They said that somebody called with without SIM card 911, and they said that they are kidnapped someone and hang up. So they saw the signal was coming in our area. A policeman was so nice, and he said that we should check every house. And we will come to you too. Like, don't get scared. Just like, you know, one police, another will police outside will, with the gun and everything. We will just check it. It's just normal procedure. And they come, and my family, Gloria, Özcan, we all excited, and it's fun, right? Then they enter, they checked. When we said bye to it, locked the door after. I said, what if it day would be today that I would realize my plans? What if that, like, you know, if that goose, that feathers and everything, imagine, like, how the, like, you know, all this guilt, all this regret, all this. I'm like, really, like, you know, how I saturated in love here. In that time, I was saturated in guilt and fear. So this was my plans, right? And next time I saw them again. But you know what? I didn't get my lesson. I look at them and I say that I can make a better plan. I think the life is this way. Something happens in our life. We are lusting after something. We do something and we try to do something else. I can do something else. I can fix it. But the God that, not like that policeman or highest authority, or like he's the highest authority. He sees everything, right? He sees our hearts. And in the life, there are many goose plans. You know, I'm like, you know what? I mean, I was looking at them. I said that, oh, Lord, I cannot do. I'm doing what I don't want to do. So I know that it is wrong. You know, in the life, it is like same way, right? We look at something. We got lesson many times. Maybe how many goods in our souls, in the hide it everywhere, you know, eaten, bones on the left, or stuff like, you know, this stuff. Like, our soul is this kind of stuff that when I think about this, I just, by the way, this plans doesn't give me any joy, any hope. Every time that I think about it, every time that I want to try to do something, it's really taking me back. It is like really like sticking in me into dust. And it makes me lower and lower, but I cannot stop. Every time that I see them, something is recalling, something that I'm trapped, right? But in spiritually speaking, like, let's turn this Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. All of you know this verse. Maybe some of you already memorized this. But it says that God has a good plans for us. You know, let me try to read it. It says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope." I want this kind of thoughts that will give me future, will give me hope, not to, like, you know, push me back, not to take me down, but the thoughts that plans that giving me hope. Now, what I can do, like spiritually speaking, the church helps me. I am going to church not because of I'm a pastor. I am going to church not to think about goose. You know what I mean? I'm going there. I just like, because I'm like, I am busy. My mind is busy with the Word of God, because God has a good plan for me. And I will protect my kids. I will protect my church. I will protect my wife, my family. Not with my own strength. I will give them something better. Because there are tons of stuff much better than goose, right? Like, but it's coming. They are passing, you know, everywhere. If they are passing here, you just said, I will not look in this side. They are passing from here. They are like, we are surrounded by them. But what we can do, we can come to church. In this church, we have a good message. That message will not cause you, you will be shamed, you will be down, you will be discouraged. We will take courage and we will get strengthened and we will have capacity to love. We will have strength to take our eyes off the something that we're supposed not to look, right? So we have this life, we are like vulnerable. We are so fragile. So we are little flock and we really need to decorate. And not only decorate, it's just in substance. You should change day by day by the taking shower of Word of God. I really pray and hope, and God will touch us. He did many times. And we will taste Him, and we will not look for any other taste. Amen.
Père Céleste, merci de bénir cette soirée ensemble autour de ta parole encore.
Heavenly Father, thank you to bless this night and around this, the Word of God.
Et aide-nous, Seigneur, à avoir un esprit de concentration.
Please help us having a focused spirit.
Et on te remercie, Seigneur, pour ta fidélité, pour ton amour.
We thank you for your faithfulness and your love.
Et aussi pour le courage que tu nous donnes.
And also for the courage you give us.
Par ton esprit,
by your spirit,
par ta parole,
by your word,
et par le corps de Christ.
And by the body of Christ.
Et on veut te louer pour ça ce soir.
And we want to worship you for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Alors, le thème de cette conférence, c'est le courage, comme vous le savez.
So, as you know, the theme of the conference is courage.
Et il y a un verset qui a été cité plusieurs fois durant cette conférence déjà.
And there's a verse that has been quoted at multiple times already in this convention.
C'est Josué chapitre 1 verset 7.
It's Joshua chapter 1 verse 7.
Et j'aimerais qu'on le relise encore une fois ce soir.
I would like for us to read it again tonight.
Il est écrit: fortifie-toi seulement et aie bon courage en agissant fidèlement selon toute la loi que Moïse mon serviteur t'a prescrite. Ne t'en détourne ni à droite ni à gauche afin de réussir dans tout ce que tu entreprendras.
It says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go.
Ce verset est intéressant parce qu'il nous donne un mode d'emploi pour avoir du courage.
This verse is really interesting because it gives us a plan to get courage.
Parce que c'est facile de dire à quelqu'un, allez, sois courageux.
Because it's easy to say to someone, oh, come on, be courageous.
Mais on peut se poser la question, mais comment je peux être courageux? J'ai peur.
But we can ask ourselves, but how can I be courageous? I'm afraid.
Où je vais trouver ce courage?
Where will I find this courage?
Je ne le vois pas en moi.
I don't see it inside of me.
Et puis il y a des choses à l'extérieur de moi qui me font peur.
And I see things outside of me that are frightening me.
Mais là, il y a une définition qui nous est donnée dans ce passage.
But here we can find a definition in this passage.
C'est fortifie-toi et aie bon courage.
It's be strong and very courageous.
En agissant fidèlement selon la loi de Moïse.
That you may observe to do according to the law of Moses.
C'est intéressant parce que là, on a, d'après ce qui est écrit, le courage va venir parce que nous allons marcher par la foi. Et ce qui vient de la parole de Dieu va devenir vivant dans notre vie.
It's interesting because what we see here, what is written here, is that we are walking by faith in what the Word of God is saying.
Mais il y a une autre chose qui est donnée dans ce verset.
But there is another thing that is given in this verse.
C'est de ne regarder ni à droite ni à gauche.
It's to look neither from, it's sorry, to turn neither from your right hand nor to the left.
Il faut regarder, être concentré sur la parole de Dieu et on va trouver le courage en avançant vers la parole de Dieu.
It's to look and to be concentrated on the word of God and we'll find courage looking at the word of God.
Et pour si je devais donner un titre à ce message et puis pour attirer votre attention peut-être.
So if I would give a title to this message and also to to sparkle your attention.
C'est il faut avoir l'attitude des deux vaches que nous voyons dans la Bible.
We should have the attitude of the two cows that we see in the Bible.
Parce qu'il y a deux vaches dans la Bible qui ont eu cette attitude que nous devons nous avoir et qui nous servent d'exemple.
Because there are two cows in the Bible that had this mindset that we should embrace.
Et ces vaches, nous les rencontrons dans 1 Samuel chapitre 6.
And these cows, we find them in 1 Samuel chapter 6, sorry.
Au verset 7.
Verse 7.
J'explique un petit peu le contexte de ce qui se passe.
I'm going to explain briefly the context of this passage.
Les Philistins ont réussi à avoir l'arche de l'alliance.
Philistines managed to get the ark of the covenant.
Et comme un trophée, ils l'ont placé dans le temple de Dagon.
And as a trophy, they placed it in the temple of Dagon.
La seule chose, c'est que Dieu est en colère contre ça et il ne permet pas que l'adoration se fasse comme les Philistins le pensent.
And the only problem is that God is angry at that, and so He doesn't allow that the worship would be according, would happen according to the way the Philistines worship.
Ce qui fait que tous les matins, la statue de Dagon tombe par terre et les Philistins ne savent pas comment trouver une solution.
So what happened is every morning the statue of Dagon falls on the ground, and they cannot find a solution to that.
Et donc ça dure pas mal de jours comme ça chez les Philistins.
And we see that happening on the multiple days.
Et à un moment donné, les prêtres disent peut-être que c'est le Dieu d'Israël qui est en colère.
At one moment, the priests are saying maybe it's the God of Israel that is angry.
Et ce qui fait qu'il propose cette solution, c'est de placer l'arche dans un char.
So they offer a solution to place the ark on a cart.
Mais là, il est dit au verset 7.
But we can see in the verse 7.
Faites un char tout neuf.
Make a new cart.
Prenez deux vaches qui allaitent et qui n'aient point porté le joug.
Take two milk cows which have never been yoked.
Attelez les vaches au char et ramenez à la maison leurs petits qui sont derrière elles.
And hitch the cows to the cart and take their calves home away from them.
Et une fois qu'ils ont fait ça,
and once they did that,
ils ont obéi à leur prêtre.
They obeyed their priests.
Et au verset 10, ça continue.
And verse 10, it continues.
Et là, je te propose de lire les trois versets, 10 à 12.
And so I'm going to read the three verses. Then the men did so. They took two milk cows and hitched them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they set the ark of the Lord on the cart and the chest with the gold rats and the images of their tumors. Then the cows headed straight for the road to Bet Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them to the border of Beth Shemesh.
Qu'est-ce que nous venons de lire ici?
What have we just read here?
En réalité, c'est un miracle qui s'est passé.
Actually, we read about a miracle that happened.
Je ne sais pas si vous avez déjà vécu dans une ferme.
I don't know if you ever lived in a farm.
Mais il y a un instinct maternel très fort chez les vaches.
But there's a motherly instinct very strong in cows.
Et ce qui fait que si vous enlevez les petits veaux des vaches, elles vont crier, elles vont meugler et elles vont pas accepter ça.
Which means that if you take away the cows from the cows, they're going to be yelling, screaming, and they won't obey at any commandment.
Et pourtant, c'est ce qu'ils vont faire.
Yet, that's what they did.
Ils vont retirer les petits et les enfermer dans la maison.
They took away the calves and placed them at home.
Et on peut imaginer que les vaches, normalement, ne pouvaient pas supporter ça.
And we can imagine that the cows, usually, they shouldn't be able to live through that.
Et il y a autre chose aussi qui était demandé.
And there's also another thing that was asked.
C'est que les vaches n'avaient jamais porté le joug.
That the cows would have never been yoked.
Vous savez, si vous faites quelque chose d'un peu inhabituel chez une vache, elle vous regarde un peu bizarrement.
You know, if you do something uncommon with a cow, The cow will look at you very strangely.
Il y a les oreilles qui commencent à se mettre derrière.
The ears turns behind.
Et les yeux comme ça qui essayent de vous regarder comme ça.
The eyes are getting bigger and trying to look at you.
Elles se laissent pas faire comme ça.
They won't allow it like that.
Et pourtant c'est ce qu'ils vont faire, ils vont placer un joug sur les deux vaches.
Yet that's what they did. They placed a yoke on the two cows.
Donc elles n'ont jamais porté le joug.
Never been yoked.
Elles sont toutes deux à avoir ce joug.
Both of them are yoked together.
Personne ne va les conduire.
Nobody will drive them, lead them.
Et pourtant, elles vont accomplir la volonté de Dieu.
And yet they will accomplish the will of God.
C'est-à-dire qu'elles vont parcourir la route jusqu'à aller en Israël pour apporter l'arche de Dieu.
Which means that they will succeed in traveling the road towards Israel without stopping.
Elles vont apporter l'arche de Dieu au milieu du peuple de Dieu, qui est un symbole de l'Église pour nous.
They will bring the Ark of the Covenant amidst the people, which is a symbol of the people of God, the church.
Elles vont apporter l'arche de Dieu dans la là où il devait être, c'est-à-dire sur la terre promise.
They will bring the presence of God.
Et là où sur la terre promise.
The presence of God in the promised land where it was supposed to be.
Et qu'est-ce qui est dit dans ce passage?
And what does the passage says?
Elles n'ont regardé ni à droite ni à gauche.
And they turned neither to the right nor to the left.
Or pourtant elles avaient de quoi regarder à droite et à gauche.
But they had reasons for looking right or left.
Il y avait leurs petits qui étaient en arrière et qu'elles auraient normalement dû faire demi-tour.
The cows were behind, so they should have turned aside.
Elles auraient pu se dégager du joug et aller dans tous les sens.
They could have struggled with the yoke and just going wandering off on either side.
Et pourtant, elles ont gardé le joug et elles sont allées de l'avant.
Yet they kept the yoke and kept forward.
Et vous savez ce qui amène le découragement?
You know what brings discouragement?
C'est que quand on regarde trop à droite et à gauche.
It's when we look too much on the right or on the left.
Alors peut-être que ce ne sont pas des petits veaux que l'on va regarder.
So maybe it's not small calves that we are going to look.
Mais ce qui nous empêche de marcher selon la parole de Dieu.
But it's what forbids us to look at the word of God.
C'est peut-être la culpabilité qui est à gauche.
Maybe it's the guilt that we can find on the left.
Et on a du mal à accepter le pardon de Dieu qui est devant nous au travers de sa parole.
And we have difficulties to accept the forgiveness of God that is placed in front of us in the word of God.
Peut-être que l'on va regarder à droite les regrets concernant notre passé.
Maybe we will look upon our right or at the regrets of our past.
Et du coup, on va avoir du mal à accepter que toutes choses sont nouvelles.
So we will have difficulties to accept that all things are new.
Peut-être que c'est la sentimentalité envers quelqu'un qui nous pousse à regarder à droite ou à gauche.
Maybe it's
sentimentality.
Sentimentality. Thank you. Towards a person that will forbids us to look in front of us.
Peut-être que ça sera un attachement d'âme avec quelqu'un qui nous empêche d'aller de l'avant avec Dieu.
Maybe it's going to be a soulish relationship with another that forbids us to go forward with God.
Peut-être que c'est une mauvaise image de soi que l'on regarde en permanence à nos côtés alors qu'on doit regarder à Dieu au travers de sa parole.
Maybe it's poor self-esteem that forbids us to look at the word of God.
C'est peut-être une addiction à je ne sais quoi qui nous empêche d'aller de l'avant.
Maybe it's an addiction who forbids us to go forward.
Parfois, ce sont les impossibilités apparentes.
Sometimes it's the appearance that it's impossible.
Des pensées naturelles.
Or natural thoughts.
Avoir une vache qui laisse ses bébés, c'est pas possible.
Having a cow forsaking their calves, it's impossible.
De mettre un joug sur une vache qui l'a jamais porté, c'est impossible.
Putting a yoke on a cow that has never been yoked, it's impossible.
Et peut-être que pour nous, ça semble impossible d'arracher de nous quelque chose que l'on adore ou que l'on aime.
And maybe for us, it seems impossible to take away from ourselves something that we love, something that we like.
Et du coup, on perd courage.
And so we're discouraged.
Parce qu'on regarde pas au bon endroit.
Because we're not looking the right way.
On marche pas par la foi.
We're not walking by faith.
On regarde à ce que l'on connaît.
We are looking at some,
à ce que l'on expérimente.
What we know, what we are experiencing.
Mais on ne vit plus l'aventure avec Dieu qui est devant nous.
But we don't live the adventure of God being in front of us.
Qui est peut-être un territoire nouveau pour nous.
Maybe it's a new territory.
Qui est peut-être étranger.
Maybe it's strange, it's
et ce qui fait qu'on perd la vision.
And so we lose the vision.
La vision qui nous est donnée par la parole de Dieu.
We lose the vision that is given to us through the word of
God. On peut la connaître par cœur.
We can know by heart the word of God.
Mais on la regarde pas devant.
But we don't look at it.
Une fois qu'on l'a écoutée, on est comme des auditeurs oublieux parfois.
Once we listen to it, we're like forgetting listeners.
Peut-être juste en sortant de cette salle, on va commencer à regarder à droite et à gauche.
And maybe just directly after leaving this room, we're going to start looking at our right and our left.
Et le découragement continue.
And we're going to be discouraged.
Et on se dit, c'est pas possible.
And we're thinking,
je peux pas avancer.
I cannot move forward.
Vous savez,
you know,
je me pose la question parfois, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé au fond dans le cœur de ces vaches?
You know, sometimes I ask myself, what happened in the heart of these cows?
Qu'est-ce qui leur a pris?
What took them? What happened to them?
Mais c'est un peu la vie chrétienne, c'est pareil.
But actually, Christian life is quite the same.
Qu'est-ce qui nous prend?
What's happening to us?
Qu'est-ce que l'on fait?
What are we doing?
C'est la folie.
It's madness.
C'est pas normal.
It's not normal.
Vous savez, quand Jésus a prophétisé sur l'apôtre Pierre,
you know, when Jesus prophesied about the apostle Peter,
il lui a prophétisé ceci.
He prophesied this.
À la fin de ta vie, tu iras là où tu ne voudras pas aller.
At the end of your life, you will go where you don't want to go.
Et c'est exactement ce travail que Dieu fait dans notre vie.
And it's exactly that work that God is doing in our lives.
Lorsque Pierre a renié Jésus trois fois,
when Peter denied Jesus three times,
pourtant il avait entendu la parole prophétique.
Yet he heard the prophesied word from God.
Mais il a regardé à ses craintes.
But he looked at his fears.
La mort.
At death.
Peut-être la souffrance,
maybe suffering,
ses angoisses, son anxiété.
Maybe it's anxiety, his anxiety.
Et ce qui fait qu'il n'avait pas la foi pour être fidèle jusqu'au bout.
And he didn't have the faith to go till the end.
Mais à la fin de sa vie,
but at the end of his life,
il a été comme ces vaches.
He was like these cows,
porté par la parole de Dieu.
Carried by the word of God.
Porté par l'Esprit de Dieu.
Carried by the Spirit of God.
Et peu importe la situation qu'il a dû traverser à la fin de sa vie, on n'a pas tous les détails.
And no matter what situation he faced at the end of his life, because we don't have all the details.
Il n'a pas regardé ni à droite ni à gauche.
He didn't look to the right nor to the left.
Il a été là où on ne peut pas aller.
He went where we cannot go.
Il a été là où on ne veut pas aller.
He went where we don't want to go.
Et peut-être qu'on est à un carrefour dans notre vie. Et on vit ce genre de situation.
And maybe we are at a turning point in our life.
Où on entend les veaux meugler dans la maison.
We hear the calves screaming in the house.
Et alors qu'on a toujours voulu faire ce qu'on voulait, Dieu nous dit, prends mon joug.
And even though we always wanted to do what we wanted to do, God says to us, take my yoke.
Et si on n'écoute pas les voix qui sont derrière,
and if we don't listen to the voices behind us,
et on accepte le joug de Jésus-Christ,
and we agree upon the yoke of Jesus Christ,
alors qu'avant on faisait peut-être ce qu'on voulait,
before we were doing everything we wanted,
on pensait ce que l'on voulait,
we were thinking whatever we wanted.
Mais regardez ce que Jésus nous encourage de faire.
But look at what Jesus asks us and encourages us to do in Matthew 11.
Vous tous qui êtes fatigués et chargés,
everyone that is tired and loaded,
prenez mon joug.
Take upon you my yoke.
Et recevez mes instructions.
And receive my instructions.
Encore une fois, c'est la parole de Dieu qui est devant nous.
Again, it's the word of God in front of us.
On prend son joug.
We take upon his yoke.
On ne regarde ni à droite ni à gauche.
We don't look to the right, we don't look to the left.
Et on va devant et on reçoit les instructions de Dieu.
And we go forward. We receive the instruction of God.
Et que ces instructions sont encourageantes.
And these instructions are so encouraging.
La foi vient de ce que l'on entend.
Faith comes by hearing.
Et ce que l'on entend vient de la parole de Dieu.
And what we hear, it comes from the word of God.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
God bless you.
Kevin, thank you. Okay. That was really good, both of them. Huh? I don't want to add to it. I just want to read while they're getting ready to sing, and just the two natures. The cows by nature have calves, and by nature they would go to their calves, but they didn't. Where did they go? They went to Israel. They didn't go home, right? Because they weren't Jewish calves or cows, were they? Were they Jewish cows? They went to Israel and didn't turn to the right or left, but by nature, they would go back to their calves. I know we heard it, but I just want to think about it with you. And then he said that they had never been yoked before, but now they are, and they're pulling the cart. And what's on the cart? The Ark of the Covenant. And why do they go back to, why do they go to Israel? Because the Ark belongs in Israel. And so God had those cows go back to Israel. And in a way, that's like us. Like we are doing something, you know, we would normally not do it, but we are doing it because the Lord wants this done. And he mentioned a number of things. Tonight, we want to pray for healing and pray for people that are looking for help. We do a lot of counseling in the ministry, and there are so many problems and so many different difficulties that people have in life. And you and I, we are here tonight, and we want this to happen in our lives. We want this to happen in our lives. We don't want to eat the geese, right? We don't want to roast. Every time we look at a goose, we see it roasted. But we are getting away from that. We are tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. We are moving and not turning to the right or to the left, but going back to Israel with the Ark of the Covenant. I might have a hard time forgiving somebody, but God says forgive them. So I have my direction, and I need to learn to forgive. Some men wrestle with pornography, and some wrestle with depression, and some I have broken hearts, and there's nothing that Christ can't do. Hallelujah. And there's just simply a new way where it may not always be instantaneous, but that we are in a process. Sometimes it is like miraculous in a moment, and then other times the Lord is just saying, walk with me and trust me, and my life changes. And I just get a focus and a concentration and believe God. So think of that as they sing now, and then we'll have prayer. Okay, would you stand, please, and just encourage each other in the faith tonight that God could heal somebody. So just do that. Would you turn to each other and just say, I believe. I believe. All right, Pastor Shibeli, could you come up? Come on up and just get a microphone. Can we get a microphone for Pastor Shibeli? Okay. All right, so here it is. Let's just praise the Lord and just say, God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Lord, we trust you. We ask you to heal. We ask you to change lives. We ask you to deliver people. We ask for counsel, guidance, help, change things. We ask for our families. We ask for answers. Prodigal sons coming home. Prodigal daughters. Oh God, we ask for cancer to be cast into the sea. Lord, we ask for the work of grace and the forgiveness of our sins always through your blood. We don't have to ask for that. We have it. We have your name. We have your nature. We are born of your spirit. We are your children. We are believing you. We are trusting you. We are looking to you. We are asking you. We are simple. We are believers. You are our Father. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh God, your church, your people, we need help. We need a transformed mind. We need the reality of your Son in our lives. We need praise, prayer, faith, encouragement, love, forgiveness, oh God, edification, the anointing, your Spirit, every day. We need help. We are lost. We are wandering. We go back to the calves. We turn back. We do the natural thing. But God, we are carrying the ark. We are living in faith. We are moving toward Israel. We are redeemed. We are saved. We have a message. We evangelize. We help others. We love. We forgive a lot. Oh God, teach us always. In your Son's name we pray. We praise you. Thank you. Amen. Take the hand of the person next to you if you want to. Take the hand of the person next to you and just say, we believe God. We believe God. Then clap your hands and say, we believe God. We believe God. Yes, Lord. We believe you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Then raise your hands and say, we believe you. These are holy hands. Holy hands.
Holy
yes,
hands.
Lord. These are holy feet. Holy hands. A holy heart. Holy lips. Holy ears. A mind. That is holy, 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 holy Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna to God in the highest. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Okay. Oh, we could do that again and again, right? We can do that again and again. Praise God. Praise God. He is. He is the Almighty, everlasting God. Oh, the everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, our King, our Lord, our Savior. Bless these words in our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. A short story here from John chapter 4. I cannot say how much I appreciate this week. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the team that is making all this happen. I mean, 150 people, another 150 people, undoubtedly, if not more, working and loving and serving in the nursery. I think we needed 70. I think at the beginning of the week, I heard we needed 70 nursery workers. And I heard that we got them. That's just to run the nursery. Then you think of the young kids that go to Hershey Park and the drivers and chaperones and all the kids and how much they love it. They love the convention more than we do. And they are in the swimming pool, and they are at the zoo, and they are all over the place. I wish I was one of them. Oh, wow, what a great week. Scotty Dubé, the young Pastor Love, Pepe Westera, all the people, I hardly mentioned their names, okay. Now go to the story here. Chapter 4, John 4, very simple story. 46. Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus is returning from the south, coming up. The nobleman goes out to find him, and he walks a ways. He walks maybe into the evening. The next morning, he sleeps overnight somewhere. Next morning, he goes, and he meets Jesus at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He finally meets Jesus. When he left home and he saw his sick son, he believed. But how much faith did he have? Enough to get off the couch. Enough to go out. Enough to travel more than a day, it looks. He traveled a distance. You know, you walk maybe 20 miles in a day. But he went out to find Jesus. He heard that Jesus had returned and that undoubtedly had heard about the water turned into wine and that he had some faith. My son is dying. I must do something about it. That's the first step in our life of faith. We don't know what will happen. We don't know if Jesus will heal my son, but we start out by faith. How many of us have started our Christian life by going to a church like this one and sitting there not knowing anything? I don't know what is being said. I don't know what a Bible looks like. I don't know what it means to sit and like we do and sit and just listen like this. We're looking around wondering what's going on. I have very little faith, but that's how it started. It started not knowing where it would go. We didn't know when we repented of our sin. We didn't know where God would take us. When we stopped doing the bad things that we used to do or the bad habits, and actually we're surprised that we could stop, but we did. We stopped. We started to look at Jesus, but we didn't know what would happen or how it would work. That people said, it's better. Repent and turn to Jesus. Your life is better if you repent and turn to Jesus. And we go, okay, I'll give it a try. I'll see. I'll start out on my journey. I will look for Jesus. My son is dying. And actually, in a way, I am dying. I am dying in my sin. I'm dying in my bad habits. My pocketbook is empty. I'm amazed at how much money people can spend on their bad habits. Why don't you turn to your neighbor for a moment and say, amen to that. Amen to that. Say to your neighbor, he's right on that. Hundreds of dollars. Go ahead, say it to your neighbor. Hundreds of dollars. Okay. Many years ago, when we were living in Hungary, we made a poster and we put it at bus stops in a city called Esztergom. And the poster said, how to turn beer into furniture. And we had people come to the meeting and they wanted to know how to turn beer into furniture. And I got that line from Vance Havner in one of his books, and we put it on the poster. And I said, if you will come to Jesus and you take all your beer money and save your beer money and then go to IKEA and buy furniture and please your wife, then it'll change your family life. When we start, we don't know what will happen. When we start going to church, we don't know. By the way, that's why people don't come, because they're afraid of what will happen. They might end up looking like you. That's what they're afraid of. talking like us, looking like us, being like us. I met a guy here at the door one Sunday morning. He said, I'm new. I just came here. This was great. How did you hear about it? He said, a guy told me at work, if you really want to go to a good church, go to Greater Grace. But I'm not going there. How does it work? Go find Jesus by faith. Read the next part, please. And Jesus said unto him, except you see, verse 48, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus gave that message to the man. Well, Lord, I travel far. I'm believing you. My son is dying. Come, come and heal him before he dies. Come and heal him. A parent crying out. How many people are in that situation today? Come, he's dying. Come and heal him. I'm in so much trouble. Jesus, if you are real, please come. I need you. That prayer, that's like the first phase of his faith was just leaving home and not knowing. And then as he meets Jesus and they have the talk, he overcomes the rebuke. He overcomes it wasn't a welcoming conversation. Jesus is saying, you want to see a miracle? And he goes, I'm not talking about that. My son is dying. I need help. Come. Jesus doesn't come. He just says something to him. Verse 50. Jesus said, go. Your son lives. This is another kind of faith. You met Jesus. You told him he's not coming. But he's saying the word, go, your son lives. This is how we start to live now, by faith. We don't see the miracle. We're not sure what's happening at home. He just said, go, your son lives. Now we kind of turn, I don't know how he turned away from Jesus. Like, he could turn a couple ways. He could listen to Jesus and he could say, my son lives, you know, your son lives. Go, your son lives. Oh, and he goes, or he could turn kind of like this. Is he going to live? Is he really going to live? We don't. I mean, I'm dramatizing. I'm trying to say something. It's like us. When we hear a word from God, there are times when we take it all the way to the bank. We believe it whether we see it or not. We have not seen my son. He has not seen his son yet. But when we come to church and we hear these words, there are times when we say, the word is enough. I haven't seen the healing, but I believe. Or I haven't seen the discipleship come out of my heart. Or the geese that Niazi told so beautifully, it kind of caught our attention that the sin that repeats back into my heart and again and again. And I go to a church meeting and I hear a word from God and it's over. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And I have decided in my heart. And that thing is gone now. I'm not looking at women the way that a natural man looks at a woman. Of course, we never lose our sin nature, but I'm trying to say something. Your life can change. I'm trying to say that Jesus is real, and there's a way for us to live, and it's a way of faith. We live by faith. And he said, go. Your son's living. Read verse 50, please. He says, And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. How did he believe? 100%, 90%, 10%? How did he believe? Enough. He believed it enough. I like that. I believe it enough, so I do. I am moving in the faith. We believe it enough. I don't know what he said. Remember, Jesus, the disciples said, increase our faith. And he said, okay. If you have a very little faith, you got enough. Oh, okay. That increased my faith. Don't worry about your faith. Just care about your heart, believing and acting in faith and believing what God is saying in his word. Those words will carry you. Those words will comfort you. Those words will lead you. Because many times in the Christian life, it's a process. Sanctification is a process that goes through our whole lifetime. We are being changed. We are being growing. We are cultivating. Verse 51. We'll finish up here, he says. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Now comes even more faith. My son lives. Yeah, I know he does. I heard it yesterday. So now he hasn't seen his son yet. He hasn't taken him up in his hands. I would make this a parallel to us going to heaven. Like I say, I don't know, am I going to go to heaven? I run to Jesus. I say, Jesus, am I saved? Am I going to heaven? Are my sins are forgiven? He says, yours go. Your sins are forgiven. So we now go back in faith. And guess who meets me first? His servants say, your son is living. That's like the body of Christ saying to us, you're going to heaven. You are born again. The Bible says so. It's kind of like a deeper dimension that meets us in our hearts. And we have fellowship with them. And the servants are saying, your son's alive. He's healed. Your son's alive. And he said, what time of the day did that happen? They said, 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And the man knew why, of course. Then when he goes into the room, or he meets his son, it's like, it's done. My faith served a purpose. I really don't have the need for faith anymore. I'm holding my son, my living son. It's kind of like when we go to heaven, we don't need faith anymore. Our faith was on the journey when we got off the couch, went and met Jesus. Jesus talked to us, and we returned in faith, and we met the servants and said, it is true. And then when we met our son, we could say, it's done. It happened. Our lives are lives of faith. Don't underestimate the value of your faith. We overcome the world by our faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. We have been restored in our hearts with victory in our lives because of our faith. You might say, Pastor, you don't know me. And I say, I don't, but I know the human race. Come to Jesus by faith. Get a word from Jesus and walk in it by faith. And one day, you'll hold your dying son in your arms and just say, hey, it happened. God took care of me. It's finished. God did not embarrass me. It was not a shame. It was not in vain. It wasn't empty. It was not a lie. It was reality. Our fellowship is a fellowship in reality that we have not yet seen. But one day we will see. And those that live by faith will not be ashamed. Amen.